Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Hello and welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, this is going to be a really exciting show because there's so much that has happened in this last week. For instance, there are four dogs in Georgia who did not die on Friday because Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals has a wonderful new partnership with an amazing lady and her company, which is going to be able to rescue more dogs and help more people. So for today, we're going to discuss our normal realm of different things that we discuss on our show. Please spay and neuter your dogs and cats. If you are not a top show dog and planning to reproduce with amazing, amazing success, most dogs do not need to be intact. And in fact, many dogs do live longer and don't have obvious cancers of reproductive systems, which there are a lot of dogs, especially females, who wind up with different kinds of health issues and cancers. So if you don't have a top champion, top 20 show dog that you're planning to spend a lot of time and energy and money campaigning, guess what? If it's just a pet, please, please, please spay and neuter your dogs, okay? And your cats. Not your kids, though. And possibly, save a dog from having to go through, very bad health issues. All right, so today on Shelter, From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, we wanted to kind of go into some of the things we need to do with these changing seasons. Because right now, I happen to be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And it's not very warm today, but the weather can go, even on a day where you're getting into the winter and you're getting into the fall, if you leave your windows and your car down a little bit, it'll help equalize temperature. People know to do that in the summer, but a lot of times in the fall when you go in and it's a little cloudy or overcast and you're in somewhere for a couple hours, now the sun had come out while you were inside, and, you got to be careful because that temperature can really get very high. Also, make sure you leave plenty of crisp, clean, fresh water for your dog if he is in your car, and check on him periodically. Every half hour or so is a good general rule. And if it's really blazing hot, your dog shouldn't be in your car. So let's talk a little bit about nutrition today as well, because that is something that we discuss periodically as well. Nutrition is going to be really important. Remember, most of the dogs at shelters and rescues are unfortunately on some pretty cheap quality food because the large companies that the shelters and rescues purchase food from or get donated is usually not the best quality. Remember what we talk about, avoiding corn, avoiding wheat, avoiding soy, avoiding additives and chemicals and preservatives like BHA and BHT, and different things that we discuss on our Friday show for the Love a Dog. So you got to stay tuned for that one on Friday. Make sure you get back here to listen to all the things we discuss every week. So let's talk about what happens when you get your dog from a rescue or shelter. The first thing that happens is we all feel sorry for them because somebody dumped them. Well, that's the last thing we should be doing. What we want to make sure is that we are giving that dog a phenomenal new life. But don't keep your dog in his past. You've got to help him get past his past by you getting past his past. What does that mean? That means when you get a dog, if it's not an abused dog, and it's just a dog who's a little bit shy, or it's a dog who's a little out of control, just kind of treat him like he's one of your kids, like you've had him for a year, and what you wouldn't accept from behavior from that dog at that time, and think about if you had him for a year, you wouldn't say, oh, I feel so sorry for him. You would have already gotten used to him. So make sure your energy isn't weak when you bring a dog home, because a dog who's a bit dominant is going to eventually say, hey, nobody's in charge of this pack, I'm going to take over. And a dog who's fearful is going to say, I wish I had somebody who was going to take care of me. Gosh, I'm so scared. I only wish I had a leader who would protect me and provide for me, because I don't want to have to be the leader. I just want to go be a dog. Well, that's one of the things that happens when we do rescue a dog. So what happens when we rescue a dog from a shelter, especially, because rescue groups, normally the rescue groups try to do a good job, but the shelters, as much as they can try, especially the ones in the Deep South, the ones in the Midwest, they have so many dogs. The shelter that we were looking at actually has, quite a few. I think they have about 200 dogs who are, every single week, and they unfortunately have to euthanize many, many of those dogs. So if we can possibly work with those dogs and let them, kind of come into our homes, and we are nice and stable, and we are taking care of them, and we're providing for them, and we're protecting them. If we can do that, then those dogs won't wind up in the shelter or in a rescue again. So, think about it. If you had a child, and your child, let's say you adopt a child or you're fostering a child, and the child comes in and starts trying to take over your house or is very fearful, and you kind of cater to that child and don't teach the child that there's still rules, the child is going to grow up the wrong way. The child is going to think that it's okay for him to do those behaviors. And we don't want the child to think that it's okay to do something wrong. So same thing with the dog. We want to make sure that we're teaching the dog from the beginning that he's a member of our house, and we love him so much, but there are still rules. Now, people understand when you tell them, hey, can I smoke in your house? Well, no, you can't smoke in my house. And I'll ask them, why can't I smoke in your house? And they'll say, well, it smells bad. And I'll say, well, I don't care if it smells bad. Well, why can't I smoke in your house? Well, because it makes the walls dark and dirty. Well, I don't care. They're not my walls. Why can't I smoke in your house? And eventually we get to the point where I say, why can't I smoke in your house? Why not? Because it's your house. And if it's your house, then how can I do something against the rules? Because it's not my house. And you've got to remember that the dogs, and especially dogs in shelters, they have had a tough time. And the most important thing is to teach them gently and kindly the rules and what we expect of them. Because if we don't teach them the first couple of months, which is the 2 months of a honeymoon period, where dogs are kind of on their best behavior, much as, we're always on our best behavior when we're dating somebody for the first couple of months, and then you kind of get familiar with them, and you start, doing your personal habits that everybody else gets annoyed at, but you're doing those because you've already gotten comfortable. Same thing with dogs. Dogs will actually give you up to 2 months where they'll be the best dog in the world, and then it's like somebody flips a switch, and they change. So what happens is that dogs winding up in shelters typically had a behavior that landed them in the shelter in the first place. And after 2 months or so, they will typically tend to repeat those behaviors. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about, why dogs wind up in shelters in the first place. But please stay tuned for an amazing guest who will be here in one moment on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Wow, I am so excited because I have spent the last 48 hours with a really incredible lady who is saving the lives of heroes by having them tested by dogs, some of whom are going to be shelter dogs and rescue dogs. And these dogs are doing some amazing things. And United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids are a big part of this. We have been here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with our good buddy Wyatt. Wyatt, obviously, everybody knows. Wyatt is the one who works. He's a 5-year-old Rhodesian Ridgeback, and he's the one who works with autistic and special needs children and veterans and evaluating dogs and working with aggressive dogs and fearful dogs and detecting cancers and other health issues. I want to welcome an amazing lady who I don't know a long, long time, but I feel like I know her forever. And she's just got a heart of gold, and she's got a hair of red and a soul of green. She's amazing. She's just an amazing, beautiful person, and she has done some pretty incredible things in a relatively short time, less than 10 years. She's creating new policies and new ways of helping our heroes, fire and police, first responders, investigators who are involved in very, very high-risk jobs where so many of these guys are just and women are just getting these horrible cancers and health-related issues because of their jobs. Kind of like if you all remember the coal miners in Pennsylvania who were coming down with horrible lung infections, and some of the workers, dock workers and other workers in construction, who were exposed to very high levels of asbestos, and even watchmakers who were exposed to some radioactive neon green, you know, light in the dark, glow in the dark kind of things, and were getting cancers of the mouth from touching the brush with their tongue between, you know, actually making the letters on the faces of watches. There are a lot of jobs out there where people are facing really serious health issues. And the reason they're facing those health issues is very simply because those health issues are being caused by their job as a, you know, unfortunately, as a side effect of the job. I want to welcome this amazing lady. Her name is Cindy L. She is the founder of the Firefighter Cancer Foundation. I think it's amazing because if you look at her last name, it kind of looks like a 911, which she's certainly a 911 for a lot of people, helping everybody out. And I can't thank her enough for being on the show and for showing us all the amazing things that she's working on. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Janice. Proud to be here, and on behalf of the executive board and members of Firefighter Cancer Foundation, we are just ecstatic to be working with Merlin's Kids and United Canine professionals in this amazing, amazing trail that you've been blazing and your organizations have been blazing. I, too, have learned a tremendous amount about the canine community and rescue animals overall, thanks to you, not only the last 48 hours, but the last few weeks that we've been becoming acquainted. So our thanks to you as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's very kind of you. Well, let's get to the chase here. How did you start this, and why did you start it, and what motivated you to create this new foundation that, you know, kind of changed your life and made you devote yourself to it? This is fascinating.
Well, thanks, Janice. I'm a retired firefighter and paramedic from Anne Arundel, Maryland. That's just outside of Baltimore on the east coast of the U.S. During my service time there, unfortunately witnessed a number of folks being diagnosed with cancer as a result of their service to their community. What we were exposed to in Maryland was PCB oil from electrical poles that was donated by a regional electric company. And unfortunately, that oil caused a great number of folks to get cancer. The oil was used for training purposes for live fire burning so that new firefighters and experienced firefighters could both keep up their skills and also learn new skills so that they could better protect the public. And unfortunately, during those times when the oils were being used for training, the folks didn't realize that these oils were going to actually give them cancer and ultimately take their lives and affect their families' lives as well.
Wow. So this is something I've never even heard of. Was this all over the country, or is this just something kind of local?
No, unfortunately, this was all over the country. The states of North Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma, New York, Ohio, were just a few that we've discovered through our 24 years of research that unfortunately all followed similar training practices. And as a result of this, we've seen high cancer rates in the fire service community just because of that one carcinogen alone. And that's before these folks ever left a firehouse to respond to the need by 911.
Wow. So this is actually one of the training aids was actually a carcinogen. What kind of percentage of people who were dealing with it as firefighters or in the area of the fires, and I'm sure there was also wherever the wind was blowing, got to check on those people as well, but what percentage of firefighters did wind up with cancers that were related to that oil burning?
Well, in Maryland alone, we had approximately 2,000 exposed, and we lost over 250 that were documented to job-related cancers, and that was affecting 10 different fire departments in the Baltimore regional area. We've had difficulty in capturing true numbers in some of these states because a lot of that information has been protected, unfortunately, by prior activity either through legal systems or just was not documented appropriately at that time. And these are practices that go back to the late 1960s and occurred up until the early to mid-1980s.
Wow. So this is something that went on for quite a while. And
yes.
And this was national? This existed in other places, in other words?
This was national. We haven't seen evidence of this in other countries as of yet, but we're continuing to do our research. And as we're collecting fire department histories from around the world, these are some of the questions that we do ask with regards to the type of exposures that the firefighters and emergency responders have had in the past. Now, the military has also had similar exposures and continues to have similar exposures, even as we speak, for the use of live fire pit burning. And current firefighters are still exposed when they go over to Afghanistan and other countries for their military service.
Wow. So this is really something that probably sounds like it's just the tip of the iceberg that, you know, there might be a lot of other stuff because obviously from the 1960s to the 80s, you know, you're talking about 30 to 50 years. Wow. This is some pretty alarming stuff, people. We're going to definitely have Cindy stay with us for at least a couple of more segments because this is really amazing stuff. And also, if anybody has any questions you want and you're listening right now, you can email or text message them in to us, and we'll be happy to answer the questions. We will be right back, and Cindy, I hope, will continue to join us. We will be back in a few minutes on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Definitely stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to a super exciting episode of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we're talking with Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who is doing her very best to help save our heroes and to educate them as well. Cindy, welcome back to the show here. Man, there's just so many things that I'm learning about different firefighting things, and you know, we don't as civilians see these things that go on inside. We don't understand when we see somebody fighting a fire. We just know kind of what's there in that moment of, you know, the guys with the big hoses and ladders and all that, but there's just so much more. It's just really mind-boggling. We talked a little bit about how you kind of started this, but where has it evolved to? I mean, where are we right now as far as how many people do you have who are involved with you and who are trying to help our heroes?
We have a board of 27. We're U.S.-based nonprofit, 501c3. We also have folks in Canada, and we have a director in Australia who has been blazing trails down under and now has established our foundation as a recognized charity in Australia as well. We keep in contact with folks across Europe, and thanks to Facebook now, we have friends in countries and languages I can't speak, let alone use Google Translator on very successfully.
I know the feeling. So you've got people all over the world, and it just sounds like just such an amazing venture. Tell me a little bit about, without getting into too much detail, about how you came up with the idea to incorporate the cancer detection and health detection dogs in with Firefighter Cancer Foundation. Like, what'd you just say one day? Gee, I wonder if we can, you know, go fix this issue as well.
Well, it started accidentally, as many great things are discovered that way. We're a resource-based organization that serves the entire family. And with that, following 9/11, we saw the dogs that served at both the Pentagon and the World Trade Center were passing away very, very quickly from related cancers themselves. And the original premise was to focus on maybe finding an early detection tool for the urban search and rescue dogs, because the concern was if the dogs are dying, then the handlers aren't going to be far behind. And as we've seen with the 9/11 community, unfortunately, the responders are continuing to pass away at alarming rates up in New York. So with that in mind, we happened to cross paths with an amazing woman named Janae Bowen and her Doggy 911 program. And through Janae, we were introduced to you and your program. And that's what brings us as far as to the present. But about 2 years ago, I received a phone call from a gentleman in Canada who called my cell phone one day and says, "Hey, I've got these dogs that can sniff cancer. Are you interested?" I was curious. So for the past 2 years, we've been developing a brand new program to actually detect diseases that are active in the body with the use of canines. And with that in mind, have put together an all-encompassing program not only to help identify early disease, but also to walk people through the entire wellness process should we actually find something that's wrong with them and get them appropriate medical care.
Wow. So this has been about 2 years in the making.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. So now let's fast forward to this week when you were with Wyatt and Janae Bowen, and Janae's really adorable little piebald dachshund, Chloe, who Wyatt thinks that he's going to marry, even though she's about the size of his head, barely. So let's talk a little bit about what you saw from your perspective, what the things you learned this weekend. What did you notice today or see today that was kind of different, not earth-shattering and eye-opening?
Well, what's been incredible, the evening that we met 6 weeks ago and I was first introduced to you and Wyatt in person, Wyatt actually made an actual detection in real time of stage zero melanoma in three places on myself. What I didn't know at the time was that was why Wyatt was detecting on me and continued to deny that I had any cancer active for about 6 weeks. Fast forwarding to today, got to witness Wyatt interacting with a number of people, male, female, all shapes and sizes, all ages of adults, that had a variety of issues from gout to knee inflammation to sinus issues, ear issues, arthritis, heart conditions, and we did have a few that we were able to actually give peace of mind to because he did not detect on areas that they're being tested for right now for cancer. And a few folks, we feel we may have actually found issues that can potentially save their life.
Wow, that's, I love being a part of this and anything to help dogs. A lot of people know who Wyatt is and, you know, Wyatt's definitely more famous than I'll ever be, and that's the way I want to keep it. But what's really important to make famous is the idea that, yes, Wyatt is not a rescue dog, but over 90% of the dogs that Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals use for dogs for special needs children and for helping our heroes, both as service dogs and as also health detection dogs, most of these dogs are rescue dogs. And Cindy, you got a little bit of a new perspective this week, a couple days ago, when your new best buddy Janice happened to ask you to do her a favor and to drive through Georgia and check on a couple of dogs at a shelter down there that is in, I can't say the county, but it's in deep in the heart of Georgia. What was your experience like knowing that you were going to be seeing these dogs and hopefully helping to save them?
Janice, for me, it was life-altering, and I had no idea that what I was going to be walking into a week ago was truly one of the saddest situations I have seen. And I've seen a lot of death and destruction during my time, but to see a different type of death and destruction, and that's unfortunately the euthanization of amazing animals that could be repurposed for a better life. When I found out that unfortunately this was a kill shelter situation, I cried for half an hour before I could even leave the hotel to drive there and had trouble composing myself before I walked in.
Wow. And what did you think of, you know, as you kind of walked in and said, "Oh boy, what's Janice asking me to do now?"
Well, I saw some amazing people hard at work trying to do everything they could to save these animals faced with nearly an impossible situation. These are folks that truly love animals, that truly want to do the best by them, but unfortunately, for a number of reasons that I'm sure you'll go into, they just can't always find all these animals' homes, and they can't seem to save them all.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part, is actually realizing that people gave these animals up 2-3 years old. I mean, how does somebody make a commitment? And we talk about this every week. How does somebody make a commitment and then just go back on the commitment and just default on it as if it's, oh, it's okay, I'll just dump it in the shelter, somebody else will take the dog? Well, unfortunately, high kill shelters, nobody else takes the dog. You're giving your dog up or releasing your dog, and your dog is going to wind up euthanized or hit by a car. So it's got to be some personal responsibility. We're definitely going to talk more. Cindy's going to stay with us, and she's going to join us on the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we're continuing our conversation with Cindy L., who is the founder and pretty much everything for the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who Cindy is helping us to rescue dogs. Cindy, welcome back. Thank you. I have these huge questions I want to ask you. I want to know what you would have done if those two dogs that you had checked for me had not been appropriate, and how hard that would have been for you to have to say, sorry, I don't think this one's going to be a good dog.
I was actually faced with that thought that morning, because I knew if I didn't arrive at that location at 11 a.m., that by noon that day, the dogs would have been deceased.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. Cindy, without saying exact numbers, but just tens, hundreds, thousands, how many humans have you helped, saved, or been involved with in emergency situations?
Wow, I would have to say I've probably had contact with a few thousand folks during 25 years of service.
Wow. And have you ever had anything so moving as seeing these poor little animals who through no fault of their own are facing death?
I'll be honest, I have worked with and held dying people, and this was one of those times in my life that truly has changed me as a person.
Wow, and you're a pretty amazing person before that. So can you tell people what these dogs go through and what the shelter workers are trying to do to prevent these upward of 150 to 200 dogs a week just in this one shelter from dying?
Well, I heard stories of how the dogs were confined to basically small but regulated areas, and that when they can, they try to move dogs into a nicer outdoor space. I can tell you the demeanor of the dogs just going from the inside to the outside. I saw a different animal. You know, those that have seen the movie A Dead Man Walking, this was like dead dog walking. And the dog, their eyes brightened when they got outside. They stood taller when they got outside. When they realized that they were having human interaction, they actually were smiling. And that's not something that you see happen very often. At least you try not to.
Right. So you could even see the big difference just from the inside with the loud noises and the horrible smells and certainly the smell of death in the air, because there are other dogs who were euthanized, even if the ones we were able to save, four dogs. And even those four dogs that we saved in the last 2 weeks, and by the way, if anybody wants to help us to rescue more, donate to Merlin's Kids, merlinskids.org. It's even tax deductible. Please help us to rescue more dogs. Just imagine that the dogs that Cindy helped us to find and to rescue in Georgia, that those dogs, at least one of them we know, it's a beagle mix. We're going to be using that dog to help save heroes, the firefighters, and the first responders who helped us to save their lives. These dogs are going to help save humans. These dogs are going to help save children, keep children from running off, save our heroes, save people among us who are the best and the most amazing and sometimes the weakest. These dogs need our help. These aren't all dogs that we think of that are vicious and aggressive. And certainly on our Friday show, we discuss a lot about canine behavior and how we can change canine behavior. The amazing part to me, Cindy, was we've got at least three people in Georgia, including the veterinarian or the vet tech at the office that is taking care of these dogs who needed medical care. We have her. We have two of the rescue people, and we have at least one person from the shelter who are going to join United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids as, you know, we're going to train them as canine behaviorists. Well, what we do, if we have four people in that area and within an hour of that shelter, and these people can go out and not only work with the dogs that are already given up, that are already dumped, or let go, or relinquished to the shelter, or surrendered, or the fancy new word, rehomed. Doesn't that just mean I don't have any responsibility, and so I'm just going to dump a responsibility on somebody else? Well, these people, these at least four people, not only cared about dogs they've never even met before, that they had no bond or connection with, but they care even about the people who are going to be taking the dogs. They make sure that the people in the rescue groups are going to stay up to date and get the proper vet care so that these dogs really do have a brilliant future. I want to ask you which of the faces, Cindy, that of the ones you rescued or the ones you saw, which one made the biggest impact on you?
I have to say, actually, the one that was labeled a pit bull that was not, he was the sweetest, most gentle young male who followed commands, who just wanted to accept and give affection, and he just, his eyes were just begging, save me.
And how old, tell us a little bit about that dog and what his name is.
His name is Monty. He was a beautiful caramel colored dog. and I'm learning my breeds, thanks to you. So I'm still unsure what he really was, but one thing for certain, he was definitely a very gentle soul with a lot of hound in him, and definitely one that we look forward to a very bright future in working with.
Thank you. So what was it about him? Was it the sand hound eyes, or was it the big houndy ears, or was it the fact that he didn't look like anybody else and he was unique? What was it?
Well, he was a big-headed dog, but it was his eyes and it was the face that got me. And the second dog that was with him, Samuel, definitely was all hound, was a really, really young male who had not had any training, but again, was just as sweet and just as endearing. So both of them really struck a chord in my heart. And the thought going through my head was, I'm sorry, Janice, I can't say no to either of these.
And I'll let you in on the secret, Cindy. I'd made my decision. I was taking them. I just wanted you to see what these dogs, not that you needed to see any horrors because you've seen them, but I wanted you to see the process, and I wanted you to be really as passionate about all phases, because certainly you're a rescuer, and you're a human rescuer. Well, now you can add to it, you're a dog rescuer. There's something about knowing when we have a dog who's alerting on cancer or alerting to health issues and saving someone. It's a pretty scary feeling to think that that dog who is with that child, like Aiden and Zuri, Zuri was a rescue. I can't imagine Aiden's life without Zuri, and I can't imagine our lives without the four dogs that we just rescued from Georgia. And if people want to get involved, go to your local shelter, help work with the dogs, come up and give us a call at United Canine Professionals. We want people that we can train to help us to not only find dogs from shelters and rescues, but to rehabilitate them and private dogs. We are going to be right back with our final segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. And please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. We are talking to Cindy L. Cindy is just, man, this is just amazing. You are one incredible lady. And for those of you who want to get involved in helping us to be able to help more heroes, you can go on to our websites, www.unitedk9professionals.com or merlinskids.org. And Cindy, if you would give us your website and contact information if anybody would like to get involved in any states with the firefighters, of course, they can get in touch with us through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, but how can somebody get involved? Or perhaps somebody wants to do rescue classes and doggy 911 classes with Janae.
Our website is www.ssk, ffcancer.org. That's FF as in firefighter, cancer.org. Our toll-free number is 866-411-3323. That's 866-411-3323. As we like to say, we have the 411 on cancer. Awesome. On our website is a section, if you click on the left home page, that has our FFCF Pause division, and on there is the Doggy 911 information, as well as information in the future about the work that we're going to be doing in Georgia.
Awesome. And if anybody has any questions, they can certainly direct those questions to us or to Cindy. So let's discuss a little bit more before we have to end the show in about, 7 minutes. Cindy, how did today change you as far as, we did talk a little bit, but how did it change you to actually see what Wyatt does and what Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals dogs are doing in real time versus if you can describe the process that you're doing now, which is also a wonderful process, but how is it different?
Well, it's neat because now we have two canine processes that can give us hopefully the same answer, the same result, but they use two different training modalities for canine scent detection. So in essence now in the future, we're going to be able to use two different methods for checking the results that we're getting. And it's very important that we approach this in a responsible and calculated manner, because we don't want to tell someone that they may have a disease when they don't. And we want to make sure that they receive both accurate information in a timely fashion, as well as the resource information and assistance they're going to need for going down any of those possible roads. We're excited, though, because watching Wyatt today, we got to see the best of everything, in that we had a special needs person come in that was part of our firefighter family, and she was afraid of dogs. And within a matter of minutes, Wyatt was able to not only warm her heart, but totally allay her fear of dogs. And by the time she left, not only has she performed our mask test of breathing into a surgical mask that we'll send off to our dog team in Canada, but she had also spent time petting and cuddling and snuggling with Wyatt. And this was someone who, when she walked in the door, was afraid to even be in the room with him. So to see that transformation of someone who came in with a total fear of dogs and to walk out the door with a total love of dogs, that's really what this is all about when you look at how these dogs can influence these lives. They not only save them, really, heart, mind, and soul.
Well, that's Wyatt. We, like we say, he Wyatt. Wyatt's actually looking at me, wagging his tail right now, because he knows we're talking about him. But what's pretty cool, and what I'm always amazed at, I mean, Wyatt is beyond amazing, and anybody who ever meets him kind of just says, like, wow, this is not even a dog. Even my mother calls him a little fur-covered human. He truly is a miracle. But it's not just Wyatt who can do this. Now, Wyatt, granted, can do pretty much everything. I'm sure he could also paint murals on my walls if I could figure out how he could have an opposable thumb. But other than that, what I want people to understand is, yes, Wyatt is amazing, but there are dogs in shelters and rescues right this minute who tomorrow morning are going to be euthanized, who have abilities like Wyatt. In maybe not all of them, but if a dog has an ability to find cancer, or if a dog has an ability to swim to save a child who might be in a pool, or if a dog has an ability to become an autism service dog, or if a dog has an ability to be a seeing eye dog, whatever abilities those dogs have, those are abilities that die when that dog dies. And I'm sorry, but 4 million dead dogs every year is way too much. Okay, we talk about having a dog who's maybe dog aggressive or people aggressive, and somebody, you know, we can't find a home for him. All right. Let's say that's even 10%, which I think is still very high, but let's say that's 10% of the dogs. So let's say 400,000 dogs are dogs that are just really bad. Let's just call it 10%. That means that 360,000 dogs, I mean 3,600,000 dogs every year are euthanized, and they're good dogs. Maybe they peed in somebody's house. Maybe they chewed up somebody's sofa. Maybe the people had to move. But all I know is that if I had to get rid of my dog, and if I had to actually give up Wyatt and Whisper and Bubble and Brandy and Kira and all my dogs, if I had to give them up, there'd be a line around the world waiting to get my dogs, because they are the best dogs in the world. So if people have a dog with a behavioral issue, don't dump the dog. There is help out there. There's United Canine Professionals. Really, people, we make it so easy for you. Come and help us. We have people in 34 states, soon to be 35. We're working on 36, hopefully. So we'll be in all 50 states. Help us to help save more dogs by educating their owners. If a dog growls at someone and they give it up, you put it in the shelter, do you think that that problem's going to go away? No, because it's going to be more fearful, and the dog is going to wind up biting someone in the shelter, and the dog's going to be dead. You can change the world. Spay and neuter your dog. If it's not a top Westminster dog, come on. Spay and neuter. Your dog will live longer, and it won't make more mixed-breed dogs, which is kind of driving me crazy with all these new designer hybrid dogs that are having all kinds of issues and health things. There are 4 million dogs a year who just want to be your friend, want to come home, want to help save our heroes, save children. And it's up to you guys. It's up to you listening right now to take control. You can call United Canine Professionals. You all know the number, 855-4-K-9-PROS, or contact Merlin's Kids, 855-HI-WYATT, and call and help us to make a difference. I want to just thank Cindy L. Man, you are just an amazing, amazing woman. And I am so grateful to have met you and known you and shared Wyatt with you. And I hope that you'll come back on a future episode of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Janice, I can't thank you enough for this life-changing experience. And as a result, you have our commitment from the Firefighter Cancer Foundation. Not only, we've already begun work for establishing a new model program in Georgia, but also working with you nationally and internationally to make a difference with not only saving these dogs' lives that should be saved, but taking care of our heroes, whether they're big or whether they're small.
Four-legged or two-legged, we're saving
Correct.
Them all on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Have a wonderful week.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.